puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Sunday morning, time for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough is here. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about today?
Well, in 2014 and again in 2017, I joined walking tours that were led by historian Christian Cassidy. And they gave us fascinating looks at some buildings in downtown Winnipeg that, to be honest, I had never had an opportunity to visit. In addition to being very informative, these tours were also a little bit inebriating. And we're talking about what are sometimes called SRO hotels. SRO, single room occupancy.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly?
Well, a present-day SRO hotel provides what most hotels in Winnipeg at the turn of the 20th century would have provided to their guests. A room, a bed, maybe a chair, and not much else. Bathing and toilet facilities were communal. Most of these early hotels were several stories tall, frequently with a restaurant and a bar on the main floor and accommodation on the upper levels.
So examples of SRO hotels would be the ones in the downtown center of Winnipeg, presumably?
Right. You know, they look like hotels of the past because they are hotels of the past. You know, there are several along Main Street and the surrounding area. So guests at an SRO hotel who frequently live there for months or years, well, they get a bedroom and that's it. But these facilities can provide additional services such as meals, low-cost libations, entertainment, things like music and comedy, a place for meetings and socializing, and perhaps most importantly, a safe refuge from street life, including warmth in the winter and coolness in the summer.
What's the oldest SRO hotel in downtown Winnipeg?
Well, that distinction belongs to the Woodbine Hotel at 466 Main. It began operation in 1878, 143 years ago. The building is municipally designated as historic, and in fact, in 2019, its owners received an award from Heritage Winnipeg. I visited the bar at the Woodbine in 2014 as part of those walking tours, and I was really impressed by its beautiful pressed tin ceilings and the walls that are literally covered in antiques.
Now I have to ask, you said that the walking tours were informative, but also inebriating. Why is that?
Well, our tour guide, Christian Cassidy, felt that it would be unfair to bring a bunch of historians into these businesses, look around, and then leave without patronizing them. We were encouraged to support the places to the degree we felt comfortable. So over a few hours, I had a beer at several of the hotels. Nothing excessive, I should say, Nadia, but I did feel a little lightheaded by the end.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what other hotels did you visit in addition to the Woodbine?
Well, in 2014, we focused on hotels south of Portage and Main, places like the Winnipeg, the Garrick, and the Vendome. At each stop, Christian would tell us a little bit about its history. Now, it would take too long to give the full story of each of these hotels, but I can share a few tidbits here.
Okay, what about the Garrick?
Well, it's located on Gary Street. It's a five-story hotel that opened in 1907 as the Mount Royal Hotel. Now, unfortunately, its first owner was unable to secure a liquor license. And that was really important in those days because that's often where they made a lot of their money. So he leased the building to the proprietors of the hotel next door, which was called the Wellington. And the reason he did that is because the Wellington was dry. So it didn't matter if the Mount Royal didn't have a liquor license. The two buildings operated as one until 1922 when they separated, and this one was named the Garrick. People who have ever driven by the Garrick know that it has a really iconic neon sign out front. That sign was put up in the 1940s when the Garrick was operated by a local brewery.
The Winnipeg?
Well, this three-story hotel opened for business in 1881, and it featured 60 beds on its upper two floors. I guess business was good because they enlarged it in 1901 and again 2 years later, and it continued in operation until October 2019. It's now closed. But a good sign is that its present owner, who was involved in rejuvenating the nearby Fortune Block, hopes to redevelop the Winnipeg into a boutique hotel that caters to downtown tourists.
And what about the Vendome?
It was built in 1898 to meet what the newspaper advertisements described as, quote, the requirements of a high-class trade, with rooms that were available for $1 to $1.50 per day on what was called the European plan. And what that meant was that they provided accommodations separate from meals. Initially, the Vendome was three stories, but if you've driven by it, you know that today it's four stories because that fourth floor was added in 1902.
What was different about the 2017 tour?
Well, we visited three hotels further north on Main, the Mount Royal, the Sutherland, and the Northern. We started at the Mount Royal.
But didn't you visit that in the first tour?
Well, one of the things about those early hotels is that they seem to change their names frequently, often when the ownership changed, and sometimes that turned out to be every couple of years. This particular Mount Royal Hotel was on Higgins Avenue, across the street from the CPR station. Originally, though, it was called the Wolseley Hotel when it opened in 1904. It became the Menard Hotel in 1952, then the Mount Royal in 1956. And in fact, an interesting tidbit about the Mount Royal is that through the 1950s and 60s, it was a popular meeting place for the city's lesbian community. If we move on a little further north, though, the Sutherland at the corner of Main and Sutherland, it also went through numerous name changes. It was the Cosmopolitan when it opened in 1882. And in fact, it was one of the first major buildings north of the CPR tracks in Winnipeg. It was renamed the Palace in 1903. It became the Sutherland in 1907.
How about the Northern Hotel?
Well, initially, when it began business in 1906, it was a two-story building, but it wasn't a hotel. It was actually an apartment block that had retail shops on the main floor and apartments on the second floor. But they may have realized that that wasn't the best way to go ahead. So the following year, just a year after they had opened, the building was renovated extensively and a third floor was added and it became the Northern Hotel. It had 61 bedrooms on its upper floors, in addition to, on its main floor, a parlor, the office, a rotunda, and the all-important bar room.
Now, some of these hotels do have a bit of a reputation for being a little rough. What was your experience?
You know, I never felt unsafe in any of the hotels. And in fact, to the contrary, I felt incredibly welcomed. You know, I had an excellent burger at the Vendome, a great buffet at the Northern, and reasonably priced beer in several of the bars. You know, but funnily, when we were at the bar in one of the hotels, two well-meaning police officers on patrol entered and they made a beeline over to us and they advised us to leave the place immediately. I don't think they expected to see a bunch of historians in a place like that. But you know, these two tours really convinced me there is incredible history represented in these early hotels and they are a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were able to give us an insight into that, perhaps challenge some of our own stereotypes about those places. So thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
Well, some of our listeners know that in addition to my interest in history, I'm a professional biologist. So next week, we're going to talk about an orange-colored plant that those familiar with old structures, especially ones made of concrete, will recognize.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.